Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Get up, get up, get up. Go Simon. Get up, get up, get up. Go Simon. Get up, get up, get up. It's a Get Up Show.
New podcast.
What was that again?
Big bang. Pew.
Welcome, friends, to episode 6 of the Simon Says podcast. I wanted to say right up front that I've discovered there are multiple Simon Says podcasts. One that I particularly respect is Scott Simon from NPR has a Simon Says podcast.
Does he really?
I don't know how familiar you guys are with Scott Simon from NPR, but I used to do an impersonation of that whole lineup back in the day. It goes like this.
I'm Scott Simon.
I'm Linda Wertheimer.
I'm Noah Adams.
There you go. That's the lineup.
Oh, wow. It's like they're in the room.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
They've changed now. Now it's, I'm David Green. What's that lady's name?
I'm Diane Rehm.
Diane Rehm has retired for a long time, man. Now it's A1. God, you're not the best.
A1, the steak sauce?
It's 1A. Maybe it's 1A. I don't listen to it anymore since Diane Rehm is gone. You know how I hate change.
I understand.
And Mary Louise Kelly, I think, is David Green's co-host now. And she's of note because her response to a lot of things is,
Welcome to NPR Talk.
That's it.
But here we are. It's Sean, Charlie, and Maddie on episode 6. And why is it that all women say when a man gets sick, men are used to pulling the weight of the whole family and of bringing home the bacon so that the woman can properly fry it up in a pan?
Sure.
So yeah. When a man gets sick, he should be allowed to be sick. But a woman is the first person to say, oh, my God. That's a man thing. When a man gets sick, nobody's ever been sicker.
No. None of anything that just came out of your mouth is true.
I mean,
like none of it.
All right.
See, what happens is women are expected to still take care of the children, make sure the house is taken care of, make sure the bills are paid, make sure people get where they're supposed to go and all that kind of stuff. Even if they are sick, men get sick. I'm dying. I can't breathe. Well, I'm just going to lay here.
That's because it's been medically proven that when we get sick, it's worse than anything in the world.
That has been medically proven.
There's a study.
I mean, yeah.
Harvard.
My stomach kind of hurts and my head kind of hurts.
I will
and
tell you.
I'm all stuffed up.
Men do get sicker than women.
And I'm going to die.
You know why? Because women are given the incredible taxing thing called childbirth. Men could never do that because we can't take it.
No, you really can't.
I'm,
you cannot take sniffles.
I'm telling you. No, now you're going too far. Because men do get sicker, but we get no respect for it. If we get sick and are genuinely sick, we have to hear that forever. Oh, that's a man thing. You've got the man flu.
No. It's because if you have a stomach ache, I'm feeling sick in my stomach. I don't know what's going on. It's just blah, blah, blah. I get a stomach ache. No one even knows about it.
Listen,
it doesn't even come out of my mouth.
What are you trying to say? You guys never know if there's anything wrong with me.
Okay, that's ridiculous because you fire warning shots when you're going to be sick, like
when days you're not
in
even
advance.
Sick yet.
Well, because
I could be dying.
I'm shocked you showed up today.
Oh, because I care about you two.
Yeah, no, that's not it at
Listen
all.
Listen to these headlines. These are real headlines. Is man flu really a thing? From the Harvard Health Journal. Are men just babies when it comes to the flu? Maybe not. A new study shows that men get sicker than women. Man flu, the scientific evidence behind whether men get sicker. Why men are much worse at being sick than women, etc.
Because they're giant wimps.
See, but look, there's science behind this. I don't know why women get so angry when men get sick.
Because if women get sick, the house falls apart. If men get sick, life just goes on.
I like my life. Because I'm just thinking, like, hearing this whole time conversation, it's like, it's so 50-50 that if one of us gets sick, it's fine. Everything just keeps on moving. It's not like everything grinds to a halt.
I wonder if she would say the same thing.
I think she would.
Being I'm a person who lives alone. So if I get sick, guess what? I still got to do everything at my house. And I do.
All right. Well, what are you really doing?
Nobody, if a tree falls in the woods and there's no one around to hear it, does it still make a noise?
I mean,
if a man gets sick and there's no one around for them to complain to, are they still really sick?
I still do all the same stuff, right. Which is nothing. I do nothing.
I think you're not as sick because there's no one there to feel sorry for you.
I like to just be left alone. And that's the problem. Like, oh, do you want some soup? Do you want me to take care of you? No, leave me be.
Oh, my God. I will tell you one exception to my argument is my cousin Mark, who the kids call Uncle Cuz. I was out on the Eastern Shore the other day, and he was very sick. I'll give it to him. Mm-hmm. But he's this. When you hear, oh, that's man flu, or men are always the sickest boy, he is this. He had the flu, and he had the other end. He had them both going at the same time, and he was just bad off. I mean, talk to him on the phone. Oh, I'm sick. Oh, no. Oh, I can't do nothing. So I went to his house to check on him, and I hadn't eaten in 2 days, and last thing I had was 2 meatloaf sandwiches, and that was 2.5 days ago. And I said, well, you have to eat something. Do you have any broth in the house? Yeah, oh, God, yeah, there's broth in there. So I went through the pantry, and I found some broth, and I put it on the stove, and I heated it up. And I said, well, if you were to have toast, what do you use to make toast? Oh, God, no, I can't eat toast. No, oh, my God. So I heated up this turkey broth. And I was like, this will give you some strength. Once you eat this, you got to eat something solid, but you have to sip on this. You have to. So I get him a bowl of it. I take it over to him. He goes, oh, this is awful. It's awful. It smells like dog food. It smells like the front yard at the Purdue plant. And so he takes, I was like, I'm going to stand here until you eat some of this. You have to eat some of that broth before I will leave here. He took the spoon and placed it to his lips and went, oh.
Wow.
And so, yeah, so later on I called to check on him and I said, well, did you eat your broth? Do you feel any better? Oh, no, I put that right down the sink as soon as you got out the door.
See, but then why did you even, that's my thing. He didn't want your help. He wanted to just be miserable.
He needed to have some help.
Yeah.
No.
Or maybe he wasn't as sick as he said he
was.
Do
you think, am I more of a lady than some guys in that?
You, on the daily, so... You're quite complaining.
If you're talking about the going out of your way to take care of somebody, maybe you have more of a maternal side. But on the other side, no one can man flu like you.
Right.
How dare you?
You fire warning shots weeks in advance. Oh, I had a big weekend. I think I'm definitely coming down with something. Oh.
But I think I've bounced back. I wasn't feeling great. I took my emergency. I've been making a cocktail. I like to do an emergency with the Alka-Seltzer Plus in it and then wash down 4 Advils with that. And usually, you know, once that kicks in, I'll snap out of it.
Wow, you just sledgehammer that thing.
Yeah, man.
That can't be.
It's what you got to do.
Yeah. Yeah, bro. It's what you got to do.
Oh, I can't imagine putting the... It's already bubbly enough. Then put the Alka-Seltzer in it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the Alka-Seltzer is what gets rid of the cold.
Well, that's what the emergency does.
No, emergency does not get rid of a cold.
I'll tell you what else. You know how people used to love those Zicams and all that kind of mess?
The zinc.
And they would take those Zicam Q-tips. Ugh! They would take those and break that little pack and take that wet Q-tip and jam it as far up your nose as you could get it and slosh that.
Poke yourself in the brain a couple around. Times.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yes, this is preventing my cold. Well, they've just said that zinc does nothing. And even the lozenges, you know, those zinc lozenges.
That was the worst.
They do nothing.
I love a lozenge.
Do you?
I will eat a Halls, the vitamin C ones.
Ew.
Oh, and I love
But
them.
But what about the zinc you put on your nose? Does that still work?
Zinc oxide?
Yeah.
Well, doesn't that take the burnout? Yeah, I think that's all right. Yeah, just don't eat it.
Okay, good.
Don't eat that. I used to like a lozenge. I can't do them anymore.
Oh, I love them.
Do you like a strong one, like a Fisherman's Friend? Or
yes, a Ricola.
Gee whiz.
I just, every time I pop one in my mouth, I want to be one of those giant horn players.
And yeah, no, I can't
yell
do
Ricola.
Them. Do you do them?
Yeah, if I have a sore throat.
Who was it? Somebody that you used to be related to would eat straight Vicks.
Oh, it was my ex-wife's great aunt. She would eat it.
She would
out
eat,
of the pot?
Eat Vicks VapoRub.
Out of the little thing, yeah. Well, she was crazy old.
I don't think you're that far off, though, with the way that you love to eat a lozenge, because it's similar. It's
have
got that,
you tried Vicks straight out of the jar? You might like it.
Yeah.
No.
Put it on a toast square.
I don't know what you, well, and I guess you're right. I mean, I guess it's all in the presentation. One comes individually wrapped and is meant for your mouth. The other one is in a jar and is more of an ointment.
It's near your mouth.
What am I supposed to do? Rub it in my gums? Look, take a finger dip?
Somebody got a little happy.
Two fingers and...
Somebody was rubbing it on their chest vigorously and it ended up in their mouth. And they're like,
Just a pinch between your cheek and gums.
So here's something you've never heard anybody say before, and this is a product of us being people who don't leave for lunch.
What is it?
Here's a quote. Here's a quote from Maddie. Oh, I got ranch on my Z key. And when I heard him say that, he goes, oh, I got ranch on my Z key. And I'm like, on your Z key? You got what on your what?
What's Z key?
What's Z key? Is he talking about the Greek dressing that I love?
Recently, I've been pointed out that I've been yelling out fantastic or declaring band names and not even realizing it. I think Ranch on Maziki would be a fun band. But yeah, I was eating, and it was funny because I ended up getting it just on my pinky, and then my pinky touched the Z key, and I was like, oh no, this is ranch on my key.
Are we missing out on life by not going out to lunch and sitting at our desks eating our lunch in the same spot every day? Because, you know, there's people who have these wild adventures. There used to be a guy who worked here, Jim Scott, who now works up at High Point University, who had those horrible purple shoes. But he used to talk about those 2-hour lunches that he and some of the sales guys would go on. They would go out and they would have these like banquets. They would go and eat and eat and eat, and then they would go shopping, and you know, they would go and buy ugly shoes, and they would laugh, and they would ride around, and you know, who has time for it?
When I first started working here, there were more girls that were like kind of around my age group and whatever, and we all used to take these fantastic long lunches. Just like, ooh, where are we going today? Let's go to Red Robin. Let's go to the Italian place. Let's go to this place. Let's go to Oso's. Whatever. We would have the best lunches. It was so much fun. Birthday lunches, whatever, Tuesday lunches.
Yeah,
now it's just like, okay, if I even leave, I run down to Jimmy John's and run back with my sandwich and nuke it and sit at my desk.
Sure, but do you miss it?
Yes, absolutely. It's the bonding. It's the good thing that you need that makes you happy at work.
Well, what are you saying?
Friendships.
You got us.
You guys hate me.
That is not true.
No, that's not true. But I mean, it's not the same as like the girl friendship, you know, your work friends that
Come on,
you
I can
tell
be one
all
of the
your
girls.
Deep dark secrets to.
We can chat. We can talk about stuff. I'll braid your hair.
I don't want to know your secrets.
Okay, now it's getting weird.
But I'll tell you, when I used to have the opportunity to go out to lunch, it was when I was at top 40 stations like in D.C. and, you know, Norfolk and Raleigh, whatever. And those record guys would come, and they would want to take you out to extravagant lunches.
Oh, yeah,
those were
awesome.
They would want to treat you to these lunches. And I would be there tapping my foot, looking at the clock, nervous as hell, just like, oh, my God, please let me get out of here and get back to work. I hated it so much because I have such anxiety anyway.
You are one of these people, though, that's just like work, 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 work mode. You can't take a break from it.
No.
Like, I know what I need to get done. I'll get it done. Whatever. And so I'm okay with leaving for a little bit and enjoying the middle of my day.
What about you? You're not a leave for lunch guy ever.
No, and I'm 100% like routine. Like I know exactly what I do when I do it, and none of it involves me. If I have to go find lunch outside of the building,
he gets he does get anxiety. He's like, Charlie, like where can I get a salad?
Yeah.
Where do I get a cheeseburger?
But that's the other thing too is, you know what? I think also part of it is I've gotten old and I'm, in the sense that I'm thinking about what I'm eating, and I can't just eat. Like, I think the last time I went and got fast food, I won't say where, I had such a shame spiral.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't believe you were eating that.
It seemed like a great idea, but then I ate it, and I was like, oh, God, what have I done?
I could smell it coming around the corner down the hall. I knew what you were eating.
I was so excited, and then I ate it, and it was like, no. And a lot of times, I just bring my lunch from home, so I just heat it up, and I'm doing stuff on my computer the entire time anyway.
Me too. I'm working the whole way through
lunch.
It's
not like we have a cafeteria to go hang out with.
Oh, gosh, I wish we did.
I love my lunch plan these last several months. I just so love it. I look forward to it every day.
You mean chicken salad?
My chicken salad and celery.
He brings chicken salad, celery, and sometimes brings some little crackers.
Don't just say that's lunch. You'll eat that three times a day sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
I don't understand that.
I've been doing the crackers too much. So I'm off the crackers for a little while. I'm only doing the celery because I felt like I was doing the crackers too much.
I don't see how you can be so routine in what you eat. Like, I would hate chicken salad.
Oh, I love it.
But see, you know what, though? And like, every morning for breakfast, I eat the exact same thing when I'm here. It's like a packet of oatmeal. I have my coffee and that's it. Like, that is 5 days a week.
I don't even eat the same thing for breakfast. Like, I go through phases. I eat cereal for a while, and then I eat, I might bring eggs. I might bring yogurt.
No. What?
All right.
This is crazy.
Do you guys, I've been meaning to ask you this, and I'm very serious about this, and I'm sorry if this hurts anybody's feelings or if this catches anybody off guard, but I've been meaning to ask you this, and I'm serious. Do either of you have any questions about the Three Stooges for me?
Nope.
You didn't give us time to prepare. I had so many. There's a list in my office, but I can't leave and go get it. So.
Okay. What about you?
What made you think of that? Because, I mean, honestly, I feel as if you volunteered more information than I ever asked for.
What was the nugget that you remember that you thought, wow, that's an interesting thing that he volunteered about the Three Stooges?
The biggest thing I keep coming back to is I know the name Ted Healy.
Oh, Ted Healy. Yeah, he was the biggest star in Hollywood in his day.
Yeah.
Milton Berle stole his entire act from Ted Healy, as did Bob Hope, Fred Allen. The list goes on.
Well, then why did they get so famous and Ted Healy did not?
Ted Healy died in 1936.
Oh.
He would have continued. That trajectory was flying high.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was a bad drinker. And he got in a bad bar fight the day after his son was born. He got in a really bad, the night after his son was born, he got in a really bad bar fight.
This is just getting very tragic all of a sudden.
Yeah, it wasn't great. But they had left him. They had been working with him, and they left. And by that time, 1936, they'd been at Columbia for 2 years, and they had the very successful short features. And so they were doing great when he died.
All right, wait. All right, stop right there.
Yes.
I know one. Where did it all start? Like, where did your obsession? Because I've heard of people being into stuff, but to the point where you are an encyclopedia of knowledge about all things Stooges, and you'll constantly bring me in your office, brah, look at this, look at this. What do you think of this? And I'm like, it's a really old photo. You're like, it's not just any old photo. This is a rare blah, blah, blah.
Because back then, they only did this way, and then da-da-da-da-da. And so this one would not have happened this way.
Oh,
so,
wow. Look, you pay attention to that
like,
stuff.
You know all these things.
Yeah. I don't know. I loved watching them when I was a little kid, and then I bought a poster when I was in Europe when I was a kid, and that got me onto buying stuff. And then I joined the fan club, and I realized that Larry's brother Mo, not Mo from the Stooges, but Larry's brother Mo Feinberg, was the president of the Three Stooges fan club. So I looked up his phone number, actually called information back then is how you had to do it, got his phone number, called him, started bugging him, found out that he was aligned on buying some other cool stuff, and it started from there.
See, I think that says a lot about you because that's not even something that my head would even go there. And how old were you when you started doing this?
10, 11, 12, 13.
You called Mo, how old were you?
That was before Europe, actually. So I was probably 10, 11 when I called Mo.
I mean, yeah, as a kid, I'd be like, I can't call blah, blah, blah. They live in Hollywood.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I was that into. Like, I mean, I guess I like Star Wars and stuff, but I don't think I was ever like 100% passionate about anything.
I used to call anybody like that. Like if somebody did something stupid on TV, I would find their phone number. I would call information in Hollywood, or if somebody like on the news, Channel 11 out of Raleigh.
I can just hear your mom, Sean. Why did you call Pittsburgh?
I was always doing stuff like that.
That's interesting to me more than anything that you would even think as a kid to do that, to call people, because I guess people do that when they really write letters to their favorite celebrities back in the day and whatever else. Nowadays, you just tweet at them and.
Yeah,
maybe they tweet
right.
You back.
So different.
It's so different. They have no idea what it's like to write a letter to the fan club and then get that carbon copied thing that everyone got, but you felt like you were so special that you got something back from their fan club.
Well, see, that's the thing. I came along too late in the game to get the real attention, but Larry and Mo were alive until 1975. They both died that year. But they both wrote back to everything they got.
Oh, really?
And they used to, there's letters that are out in circulation now that collectors have that are so funny because it'll be like Mo and Larry both saying, hey, you write to me. I get a letter from you every day. You know that I write back to every letter, but this is really getting out of hand. And that's the response.
Wow.
And it'll be like an autographed picture. Hello, Morris, again. Thanks for writing again. And then one time Mo went so far as to have his wife type a letter to this kid who was writing to him every day and tell him that he was in Europe on business and wasn't going to be able to write back for the next year or whatever because the kid was literally writing to him every day.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. But they wrote back to everybody who wrote to him. And then later on, I wrote to Joe Besser, who came in after Shemp died, and he wrote me back. And I wrote to Curly Joe Derita. He was blind at the time, but he was still signing cards. He wrote me back. Emil Sitka was in a bunch of their shorts. He took Larry's part. It never got off the ground, but he took Larry's part at the very end. And he wrote me something, and then he died, and then his son sent it to me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
See, none of that would happen today.
No.
Like, I don't think any of that. I don't even know. Like, I don't even know where you could begin to write a letter to somebody and they would even know how to open it.
I tell you what, I bet you I could find it. If you have somebody in particular, I'll make it a project. You tell me who it is and I'll find it. I love stuff like this.
Yeah, I feel like, they're still from the old school of Hollywood where they actually, that was important to them to write back to all their fans. Even by the time, I was, joining the Bon Jovi fan club and stuff, it was form letters. There was nothing personal.
Talking about Ted Healy, he used to do something amazing. I have several letters that he wrote to fans back in the early 30s where they would send him a fan letter, hey, love your work, whatever. He would send back an autographed picture and with it a letter, which was basically a promotional piece for his next movie that would say, hey, thanks so much for your letter. My next movie is called Speed. It's out in theaters on this date. Be sure to go see it. If it's not in your theaters, call the theater and tell them about it. Take your friends. And there's a lot of examples of him doing that, which is brilliant. Not everybody did that.
Oh, sure. And they had to do their own promotion back then.
Yeah.
Also, think about it this way. You talk about, you could track down if I wanted to write a letter. There's a big difference, I feel like, between a 12-year-old kid who idolizes a celebrity and writes him a letter and a 45-year-old radio guy who writes a letter. Dear Dave Grohl, I think you're pretty neat. My favorite color is blue. What's yours? I saw you like barbecue. Tell me more.
I don't know. I mean, what you got to find a connection point. What's your connection point with Dave Grohl? Really? I mean, if you sat down and thought about it, if you ran into Dave Grohl at a social event, what would you talk to him about?
The biggest thing right off is I want to know more about him and his fascination with cooking, because he was talking about during, I think, the last wildfires that he set up and was doing giant, he had barbecue going and he was doing all sorts of stuff. So I think that would be cool just to hear how he's kind of got, I've heard a lot of guys who get into cooking and stuff.
Okay, so what do you have to offer him? Do you have any local signature sauce or rub or anything like that, where you could send Dave Grohl a barbecue care package? Hey, man, I know you're into cooking. I am, too. This is one of my favorite things to season pork with. Give it a try. Let me know if you like it. Boom.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I have a couple. I love the Savory Spice Shop, and I've got a couple that I use all the time, so that's a possibility when you put it like
but
that.
But as celebrities, you cannot eat any food that's sent to you by fans, so that's going to fail miserably.
Unless it's a no-bake cherry yum-yum.
God. That's a band name.
I've got you a delicious no-bake cherry yum-yum, Dave Grohl.
But
I made it myself. And my cats helped.
Oh, but that's another thing, too. It's like, well,
there's enough to share. I know you have a lot of friends. Your friends will love it. I made two. You can take one home. And there's one for your tour van.
I like how suddenly your cherry yum yum is from Baltimore. Come home.
He's that a Jewish grandmother.
But that's the other problem too. Is it's like, and I think that goes back to why I haven't written a letter. Is that I also there's no one that I feel that passionately about to actually want to reach out to them, which then goes back to the Stooges.
What about
one
the
has nuts?
The Avids?
Yeah.
But that's another one where I'm like, hey, I dig your music. That's cool. You guys do cool stuff. Like, I'm not like.
I come see you every single New Year's Eve. I've rung in the past 10 New Year's with you. It's like we're starting our new lives.
Yeah. But they'd be like, yeah, so do 18,000 other people.
Yeah,
thanks, bruh.
And that's the thing. Like, would I like to, talk to Trent Reznor? Yes. Do I think that we'd become besties? No. Like, I don't have any grand aspirations. I don't think Dave and I are going to, hold hands, skip off into the
you
sunset.
You don't know that. See, you're going into this with the wrong attitude.
We both like coffee.
He likes a fresh pot.
Yeah.
You had a fresh pot this morning. You
I
were
did
all
have
about,
to make a
fresh how
pot.
Old do you think this coffee is?
Well, because it makes a difference with our questionable coffee.
I don't think it was old to begin with. It was that time of the morning
Brock,
when everybody's making more pots.
There's so many no-bake recipes that I think you guys would enjoy, and Dave Grohl would. Oreo cookie balls are a great no-bake option. Peanut butter no-bake cookies look great. No-bake cheesecake is out there for you to enjoy. A s'mores cheese ball would be... Oh, icebox cake. I bet Dave Grohl or Trent Reznor would enjoy that. Banana pudding cheesecake bars on the tour bus would be something he would...
Confetti squares.
I mailed you some confetti squares. I hope they find you well. Best regards, your biggest fan, 45-year-old Matt.
You have to say your friend, because that's what little Johnny always said when he wrote fan letters.
You know,
your friend Johnny.
You know, we do have that thing in the radio business about not eating food that comes from where you don't know where. Like if food just shows up. You generally don't eat it.
Some people don't.
But
I do.
But that time that cherry yum-yum showed up, holy, it was just, and I've made it since then. It's what it is like something on the bottom. It could be graham cracker crumbs or whatever. And then cherry pie filling, a lot of cherry pie filling. And then like Cool Whip or whatever on top. And how could you not eat almost all of that? And it was like one of these. It was like a swimming pool size pan.
Like a 13x9
Holy,
giant.
No, way bigger,
bigger
than that.
Bigger than that. Hotel
way
pan.
Huh?
Like the big hotel pan.
Yeah, like a catering pan. And the lady, I didn't see the lady very well. I saw that it got left, and I was like, what? And before anybody else could touch it, I was like, got to get that out of here. I was doing mornings at the time. So I got off the air and I got that and put that right in the car and went on home with it.
Oh, you took the whole thing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can't believe how much of that I ate. Oh. I mean, with the serving spoon, man.
The best, and it wasn't, we did know where it came from, but the best I've ever seen any food delivered to a radio station ever get just absolutely demolished was when your guy Tom brought that turkey.
Oh, my God.
It was like feral animals finally saw food for the first time in years. We descended upon it, just clawing at it. Just
we ate that.
Meat.
We ate it right in the studio.
Yes, no utensils, just ripping meat off.
It was a smoked turkey, and it was slow smoked, and it was so salty, and it was so good, and it was just pull apart. It was so slow cooked,
just clawing.
And yeah, it was me and him and Skip and Carmen. That was it, right?
Maybe.
I think it was just the four of us at the time.
Oh, so good.
I don't remember if Amy was in on that or not.
I don't
but
know.
But I remember just eating it with my hands, and I was like, I think I'm sweating. And
then
somebody said, oh my God, you are sweating. I had meat sweats from eating that turkey with my hands. Oh, it was so good.
You know, I just, it always goes back to not eating what people bring you. And I guess it always goes back to something that was passed on. Like, it's not even something I experienced, but everyone's like, oh, you don't ever know. Someone, a crazed fan might have poisoned it. Ooh.
Well, it's been a strong run.
But that also goes back to, like, I think somebody who thought they were a much bigger deal than they were.
Yeah, there
because,
you go.
I mean,
right, yeah, because 9 times out of 10, it's just someone who genuinely is like, you know what? I love Sean and Maddie and Charlie, and I want to bake them a pound cake.
Although, I put some of my hair in it, and I put more of my hair in a bottle with some nails and some dirt from their front yard, and then I shook it and screamed at it, and then I buried it.
That's the 10th person. Oh. 9 out of 10, oh, it's totally legit.
Oh. Well, now that we talk about that, you know, then maybe Dave Grohl would eat my barbecue rub that I've sent him. Maybe if it's in a sealed package. Dear Dave.
Depends on.
I swear.
I do not have any hair on my head to have put in your food or in a bottle with nails and dirt and scream at it and bury it, thus making a spell to put on you.
I have no cats to have walked through this meal. I apologize. If you find any hair, I do have 3 dogs, and it's unavoidable.
In the enclosed picture, you will notice a beard. I do have a beard net.
Most. Oh, yo. I put one of those on one time as a joke. I didn't realize how that worked.
Yeah,
I am so glad that I never had to wear one of those. It is so ridiculous.
Oh, don't you love when you go to Teeter and the meat guy's
the
back
one
there
guy.
Yeah. He's wearing a beard net.
Oh, poor guy.
I always feel bad. There's like the one guy who works behind the counter, and he's got the biggest beard, and he's got that awful reverse hair net, and it is just
the net of
miserable.
Shame.
Just sitting there smelling your beard and your mouth. And your.
Tell me how you would have reacted. Speaking of Teeter, then we got to get out of here. There was a guy at the Teeter, and what's up with the eggs? Because we went the other day to get eggs and looked at like 6 cartons. Every one had at least 1 or 2 broken eggs in it. And we got one that we thought didn't have any broken. My little girl's my eyes.
Yeah.
Got it home. Definitely had a broken one in it. So that's 6 out of 6 broken eggs.
So once I get to about the 3rd one, what I do is I go back to one of the first ones and replace it.
You are slick.
Take the broken.
Yeah,
as long
I do
as it's
too.
Not like as long as it's not like leaky broken.
All right. So the guy's standing there and he's unloading eggs off of this cart, tall as me, nothing but eggs on it. And he's surrounded by eggs on and off. And I go, excuse me, are you a big Beatles fan? And he looks at me like, huh? What?
Yeah, what are you talking about, dude? I'm just trying to load my eggs.
Because you are the egg man, cuckoo, ca-choo.
Oh, God, did he smack you?
He looked like he really wanted to.
Yeah. I don't blame him.
All right, so listen, thanks a lot for joining us on episode 6 of the podcast. Any parting thoughts or phrases, Charlie?
Just, you know, move one egg over to the fresh carton. You're going to be good.
Brilliant. Love that.
You're welcome.
Dave Grohl, I swear I'm okay. I'm a nice guy. You can accept my seasonings.
Tell your friends, like us, rate us, whatever you want to do. We'll see you next time.
All right, bye.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.